broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live and not in person. I haven't come up with a good word for that yet. Live and through your listening device on this very dark and gloomy Wednesday morning, Wednesday, October the 19th, 2022, 11 minutes coming up on 12 minutes past the hour, 39 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion. I went out this morning to get my diet soda from McDonald's. And boy, is it dark and gloomy out there this morning. Rainy and dark and gloomy. But it is October in Ohio, in the Midwest. Like weather like this all over the Midwest. And I think we have a warm-up coming as we head toward the weekend. So there's something to look forward to, I guess at least. You know, yesterday as we were going off the air, one of our longtime listeners, Roger, rejoined us, and he did that through his, I think he said, tablet, iPad. So, Roger, I hope you're out there bright and early with us this morning. I know you were always a long-time listener, long-time caller. Glad to have you back on the bandwagon. And, of course, Judy Summers, I think, is a regular listener again. She has been one of our biggest supporters since day one. And Judy now listens through her Roku television, so we are so happy to have Judy out there. So many ways to listen to this station. You can listen, and it's free. It's all free. You can listen on your cell phone. You can listen on your iPad. You can listen on your tablet. You can listen on your Roku television, any smart television, really. You can listen on your Alexa. You can listen on your Google Dot. You can listen on your laptop. You can listen on your computer. All you got to do is download the TuneIn app, which is absolutely free, T-U-N-E-I-N. And once you download that for free, you just search WWGH, and there will be every morning, like we always have been here on this station. The hours have not changed, and we are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so you can listen to all the great repeat programming, as well as the best of Charlie Evers and Linda Sims and Adam the Computer Guy and all the great things here on this station. So Roger and Judy, I hope you're out there this morning, and so good to hear Roger's voice yesterday and have him back in the fold here at WWGH Radio. Amongst all of our other regular listeners who have made the change over, Sarah and Ryan and... I'll forget people. Pina Grigio couple, Trish. Trish, we haven't heard from Trish in a few days. She's pretty devoted. And anybody else who listens, I know there are a lot of people who listen who do not call in. And I thank them for listening because I do know they are out there and make an effort to listen every morning. Jeannie Evers out in Clarendon. So it's really nice to have those people on board. And that's why it was so nice to hear Roger yesterday. Now, remember, pass the word on to your friends if they were WWGH listeners. All they have to do is download that TuneIn app. It's very, very easy on any mobile device they might have. Or really any stationary device. Computers, laptops, those would all count as well. And you can listen just like you did through a radio. Not a whole lot of difference when it comes to that. Now, we were supposed to have a guest here this morning at 8:15, and, you know, it's live radio. I have not heard from them yet. It was set up through a third party, so we will see what happens here if this person materializes yet. Let me send a message here and see if we can figure out where this person might be. Maybe the third party will be able to figure this out. And we'll hear from them momentarily. But we do have a big show here today. We had a lot of fun yesterday just kind of discussing things that were going on in the world. And that's always a lot of fun. You know, yesterday... Oh, you know, I want to start off with something new this morning. Since we have a little bit of time here in the first hour, because our guest has not phoned in yet. Has anybody been to McDonald's and got the Halloween tubs? I'm starting to see that this is becoming a thing again. You know, for many years, when you went to McDonald's and got a kid's meal, you got this pail. I guess we'd call it a pail, P-A-L-E, that they were ghosts and they were pumpkins and like a Frankenstein head, I think. And those were passed out and kids could take those out on Halloween and use those as their buckets to collect their candy. And for some reason, that went away for several years, and they were very, very popular. Well, this year, McDonald's has brought those back, and I think they are back now in Marion. And, you know, I would like to just see them again, see if the quality's like they once were. Has anybody went and got one of these pails yet or seen one of these pails? Do you have kids around the house? Let me know. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Have you seen the Halloween tubs over at McDonald's? They seem to be popular. I see people posting them on Facebook, so that has to be a good sign to some degree for McDonald's. You know, yesterday we talked about the fire levy, and we're approaching Election Day pretty quickly here now. I think we're at 20 days now, 20 days from today's Election Day, November the 8th. And one of the big issues here in Marion is the fire levy. Should the city get a new fire department? And I just don't know. And I'm not telling you to vote for it, and I'm not telling you not to vote for it. But the question is, has the case been made by the fire department that they need a new fire station? Because that's what you have to do to get these levies passed. You have to clearly make a case that you need this. And I'm not saying they don't need it. It's my understanding the old fire station, downtown, I guess we would say, it has been there many years. It's very old and not exactly suitable for what people need it for. Now, that may be the case, but do the voters know that? That's the question. Has that case been made to the voters? Does anybody have an opinion on this fire levy? 740-751-4038. And again, it's not about do the firefighters need it. It's have the firefighters convinced the voters with 20 days left to go that they need this station. And by the way, this goes for all the candidates as well. Has Dr. Davis, has Kathy Masters, have they convinced you that they're best for county commissioner? I assume one of them probably has. Has Scott Schertzer convinced you that he's the best person for state treasurer? Has Nan Whaley or Mike DeWine impressed upon you that they should be the next governor? Has Tim Ryan or J.D. Vance impressed upon you that they should be the next senator? You know, we're getting to the point where you can't just say the election's a long way off and polls don't matter and that sort of thing. When you're 20 days out, something's got to happen. If you're not doing well at this particular point, you're running out of time. And Election Day will be coming quick. It's always funny to me because, you know, in the media, we quote the polls all the time. Because what else is there to do? That's all the information we have are the polls. And you quote the polls to the candidates, and more than likely, the candidates will tell you the polls don't matter. Oh, the polls don't matter. Anything can happen between here and Election Day. Well, that's true. But you know what? You get down to 20 days, the day after Election Day, the polls are usually only off within the margin of error, which is usually about 3 to 5 points. And the person who is down in the polls usually does not win. Now, they don't want to come back on and talk about the polls after they lose, because that probably wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for them. But you'll hear a lot of talk about that this year. If somebody's down in the polls, they'll say, well, the polls don't matter. The polls can be off. Well, yeah, they can, but not to the large extent that some of these polls are predicting at this point. You know, USA Today did a whole article, I believe it was yesterday, on the Ohio races. And especially the governor's race. I mean, USA Today, a national newspaper, I think they know how to do polling. At this point, they've got Mike DeWine ahead by 17 points in the gubernatorial race. I mean, they've got him up 56% to 38% as of yesterday against Nan Whaley. That's a lot of ground to make up. 17 points. You know, I'm not saying that poll can't be off 2 or 3 points, but that's not even going to help Nan Whaley when you're down 17 points. Now, the Tim Ryan, J.D. Vance poll, I think it had J.D. Vance up a couple points. I don't have the article in front of me, but it's not, it's within the margin of error. You know, that one, Tim Ryan could come back. And we do have 20 days in that particular race, and they are debating each other. The gubernatorial race, the problem is there are no debates because Mike DeWine did not want them. So what are you going to do in 20 days? I mean, you've been campaigning for over a year. If you haven't done anything now and you're still 17 points behind 20 days till Election Day, you're kind of in trouble here. And I look at the treasurer's race that way, too. You know, it's important to us here in Marion because of the mayor, our mayor, running for that office. But, you know, I haven't seen any big polls in that race, and I also have not seen any big attention paid to that race. And if the top of your ticket in Ohio is 17 points down, I don't know what that says. A lot of people vote down ticket. But, as any good candidate will say, anything can happen between now and then. Does anybody have anything to say? Well, there's our little political education course here this morning. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz, and we can certainly discuss it. I would love to know what's on your mind this morning in regard to this. Because we're starting to get the mailers. It's starting to dominate the news. We certainly are seeing the commercials on social media, television, radio. They're popping up everywhere. What do you think of these things going on here in Ohio? And locally, for that matter. What's the local fallout? We only have one local race with actual people in it. And that's the county commissioner race with Dr. Davis and Kathy Masters. And we'll see how that all shakes out. As far as I can tell, if you're talking to me, both of them have been very nice to me, and both of them seem to be very good people. So, you know, I don't know that we can go wrong in that particular race. I guess that becomes more of, do you agree with what they say, or don't you agree with what they say? They both are very nice people on and off the air, and they both seem to want to help the county of Marion, which I certainly think is a positive thing for everybody who lives in the county of Marion. Again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. We would love to hear from you if you have any thoughts on any of this going on here in Ohio. Remember, we are not in the studio today. So the telephone number yesterday, I know a lot of people got confused on that. So the telephone number is 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do want to remind everybody that our big fruitcake toss, our annual event here at the station, has moved to December 15th at 7 p.m. December 15th at 7 p.m. At the radio station on South Prospect Street. You can nominate whoever you want for this particular event. You just have to let us know who you nominated. You can nominate as many people as you want. And you do have to call them, though, and tell them when it is and where it is, because we can't call everybody and confirm. So if you nominate somebody, you do have to call them, let them know when it is, let them know where it is, and confirm that they can make it, and then let us know. So far, we've got Pastor Whitaker in this. He was nominated by his friend Frank Robinson. We've got Buckeye Guy in this, who was nominated by Sean Kraft. And we've got Fruitcake Lily, who was nominated by Sarah so far. But it's still early. Remember, you can nominate anybody. You can nominate yourself if you want. You know, I was saying yesterday, I believe everybody more or less who was at the station last year nominated them, or I don't know if they nominated themselves, but I think they were all nominated. I was in the Fruitcake Toss. Sean was in. Terry was in. Linda was in. Glenn was in. Adam was in. You know, pretty much everybody was in last year here at the station. Angie was in. So if you want to nominate somebody to be in the Fruitcake Toss, all you got to do is call and let us know. Now, if it's somebody at the station, I can let them know that they've been nominated, but anybody outside the station would be out of my hands. I know a lot of people have talked about nominating the sheriff, the police chief, the mayor, former Mayor Kellogg, Mary Ellen Withrow, things of that nature. Now, you'll have to call them and nominate them and let them know when it is. City council members, I know Brett Cornelius possibly, Jason Schauber possibly. Jason was supposed to be in it last year, but I think we had a snafu. Mike McGinnis from My 600-Pound Life, he was nominated at one point. So that's how it all goes. 740-751-4038. And there also was a question yesterday about it being cold that night. We do it right out in front of the station. So if anybody needed to warm up or use the facilities, we do have a bathroom at the station, and the heat is on at the station. You could walk inside and warm up. You would not have to stand outside the entire time if it was very frigid. I know last year a lot of people stood in their cars or sat in their cars until the competition actually started. So if it ends up being a bitter cold night, that certainly can happen as well. 28 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk time. I don't know what happened to our guest this morning. And I'll tell you, I don't know if this is a good sign for our guest. This was set up again, and I'm double-checking here right now to make sure it was supposed to be this morning. And I'm almost positive it was. You know what? It might be set up for tomorrow morning, now that I'm looking at it. See, I'm a bubble off. Well, I meant it to be this morning. I must have got a day ahead of myself here. I must have thought it was Thursday. So, we will have him on tomorrow. Okay, so that's what happened this morning. So, we will have a guest on tomorrow morning. All right. Well, then, phone lines are open if you have anything to say. This is just going to be an open hour. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. So we will have that guest that we were going to have on today on tomorrow. So tune in during the first hour. All right. Well, now the phone lines really can be open. Anybody have anything to say this morning? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And as I said earlier, I hope that Judy Summers and Roger are out there listening. It was nice to hear them both back in hour number two yesterday as we shuttle down the path of life here at WGH Talk. Well, my tire light is still coming on, which is kind of interesting. None of my tires are going flat, so I think it must have to do with the change in weather. And I guess that's just one of those things that everybody has to deal with when the temperature goes down. So that's the way it is. Now, does anybody else know any other reason why that might be kicking on? 740-751-4038. If you have any ideas, give me a buzz. Now, here's something. Now, this is something we have never talked about on the air. Have you ever heard of something called a phantom flush? A phantom flush. Now, apparently, what a phantom flush is when your commode in your bathroom flushes on its own. Now, apparently, what causes this is your commode is filling up because there could be a leak in the tank. And when it fills up, it automatically flushes. So that's why it's called a phantom flush. Now, has anybody ever had this happen where your toilet is flushing for no reason? See, back in the old days, if this would happen, they would say it was a ghost. Or they would say it was a sign of something. Hey, that toilet's over there flushing on its own. That commode is flushing on its own. But no, has anybody ever heard of the phantom flush? I think this is a fascinating thing. But I think one of my commodes, I have two commodes in my house, I think is doing the phantom flush. And I don't know if that's a big water loss. Because I don't, you know, I'm not a commode expert. But it would seem to me that if your tank was leaking down into the bowl at a low rate, because it's not like your commode is constantly flushing, that this would... I mean, yes, you would lose some water when that phantom flush would happen, but if you're only getting one phantom flush maybe an hour or every 2 hours or something like that, that probably is not a huge loss of water because, you know, a lot of people use the facilities once or twice an hour. So I don't know. Does anybody know anything about the phantom flush? Or has anybody ever had to call an expert in this out to your house? You know, somebody said that the main problem with the phantom flush, because your commode is not leaking on the outside, is there's something in there called a flapper. Now, the flapper, I guess, is the plug that goes in the bottom of the commode in the tank that stops water from going to the bottom part of the commode. And apparently, if your flapper is not tight, a certain point, even though the commode has not been flushed, the commode will flush on its own, which is where you get the term phantom flush. So has anybody ever experienced this? I think this is a fascinating thing. You know, this is one of those things I'm curious about, and here we are talking on the radio about it. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 38 degrees and cloudy here in Marion. Does anybody know anything about the phantom flush? I'll tell you, if it happens at your house, it could throw you off. I just am curious at this point if there's a tremendous loss of water being caused by the phantom flush. As I said before, I wouldn't imagine so, unless it's doing it all the time, because I don't think it's leaking on the outside of the commode. I think it's just leaking down into the bowl. You know, between my tire light on and the phantom flushing going on with the commode, it's a little bit of a rough week for me, repair-wise. But you go on, I guess, so on and so forth down the road. 740-751-4038. If you got anything to say, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. You know, I was thinking, because if the flapper is leaking, you know, that plug in your tank, if I could just strap a fruitcake to that thing, it would be airtight, solid airtight. There's no way any water could seep through that flapper or that plug if there was a fruitcake on there. You know, I'm thinking about that as we talk about the fruitcake toss. Coming up on December 15th at 7:30. I don't know. That would be my take on that situation. But I don't know where you get a fruitcake this time of year. They don't wheel those out until November, December. All right. So what else is there to talk about here this morning? Well, this is good news. I think I have it on good authority, or fairly good authority, that more than likely we will see Abby back in the studio on Friday. She hasn't been in for a couple weeks. She's been busy. That's understandable. And we'll finally get this competition out of the way that we've been talking about for 2 weeks. And it'll be good, and we'll have a winner and a loser, and all will be fine. But now, here's the thing. Now, I saw her yesterday, and I will have to say, because this all got started because she said she was strong. And that's why we did the push-ups, and that's how it got to be where it is. Now, here's the thing. I saw her yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? I don't remember. But I saw her moving some pretty heavy cabinets. And I saw her kind of jumping around with things. So, you know, she could very well be strong. And this would go back to the point of the 17 push-ups in a minute that she did. You know, I don't think any weakling could do that, especially at her age. Being the age she is, I won't say her age, but, you know, considerably up in years. So I think that she's got a good possibility of winning the competition on Friday. And again, all I'm going to say about this is it will be a competition. It'll have nothing to do with timing anything. It'll have nothing to do with counting, because that got us into trouble last time with the push-ups. So we'll do something that's just a straight-out competition and something you can do on the radio where you don't have to back away from the microphones. But who knows? She might win. She might be a ringer at this point. You know, she might have underplayed it because she's kind of been demure about the whole thing and said, well, you know, I'm not really all that strong and blah, 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 blah. Well, maybe she is. Who knows? All I know is her nose got out of joint for 2 weeks about this, and we're so glad that her nose is back in joint at this point. And hopefully we can wrap that whole thing up as Friday approaches. Month of October, flying right through it, to be sure. You know, I hear that this student loan website is up and running that apparently can erase your student debt or $20,000 off your student debt. I guess I shouldn't say erase. Takes $20,000 off your student debt, up to $20,000. And apparently it's pretty easy to navigate, is what I heard on the news yesterday. It only takes about a minute, I guess, to get your application submitted. Apparently there's no documentation that you have to submit. I guess they probably pull that from the IRS or something. But if you have student loan debt and you're interested in getting rid of it, there's a website now. I'm sure if you Google it. Now, make sure you get the right one. Don't go to a bad website. Don't go to a scam website. Make sure you get the right one. Go to a news site and make sure you've got the right website for the student loan debt. But not a long process, and you could get up to $20,000 forgiven, and not a bad situation at all. What do people think of that? You know, when that was first announced, there was a lot of anger, in a way, that people were getting their student loans forgiven. A lot of people seemed to be upset because they had paid off their student loans, or maybe did not take as many student loans as somebody else took. There was a little anger involved there. I don't know. How do people feel here in Marion? Do you like the idea of student loan forgiveness? 740-751-4038. Would love to hear your opinion out there. 740-751-4038. I'll tell you something else that's kind of interesting is I just recently read where now you can get hearing aids over the counter. Now, why hasn't that been on the news every day? That you can get hearing aids over the counter, because this was always a big fight for many, many years when it came to hearing aids, you know, that you kind of had to go through a private dealer and you had to go to a hearing aid place. But I guess now that hearing aids will be available over the counter at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Best Buy. It says the FDA issued a rule in August that allowed adults with mild to moderate hearing loss to buy over-the-counter hearing aids. Sales began on Monday. Millions of people with hearing loss can now purchase hearing aids without prescriptions or medical exams from Walgreens, CVS, and Best Buy, according to the companies. Walgreens on Monday started selling over-the-counter hearing aids online, and apparently it was $799 for a pair in comparison to prescription hearing aids, which were between $2,000 and $8,000. So, you know, think about that. Now, CVS apparently is selling over-the-counter hearing aids. Now, their prices are from $199 to $999. That's fascinating, because a lot of people did not like going to the hearing aid places to get a prescription because the exam was very expensive, or the exam was not covered on their insurance. So there was always a little bit of a problem when it came to the hearing aids. So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think hearing aids over the counter is a good idea? That's a big change. Now, what I don't understand is why hearing aids at Walgreens are $799, but hearing aids at CVS are from $199 to $999. But I guess it's better overall than $2,000 to $8,000when people used to have to get the prescriptions. And who knows what the exam costed. Did anybody ever go through a hearing aid process? And does anybody know what the exams used to cost and how much their hearing aids cost? Is this much lower? I guess you can just walk in now. Say, give me a hearing aid. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, there's a really, really, really bad joke there that I'm resisting telling, because I you know, you don't want to offend anybody, but and all jokes offend people now. No matter what you do, you offend people, and you know you're not trying to offend people. You're just trying to tell a joke. I'll tell you what joke I was going to tell there. I was going to say, now you can buy hearing aids over the counter, but hopefully you can hear what the person has to say when they're giving them to you. Now, that's the joke. Now, people will find that offensive, because if you have hearing loss, people are very touchy about that. And I can understand why you would be touchy about hearing loss, but I think we make fun of everything in this country. I think we make fun of all illnesses. We make fun of blindness. We're not making fun of the people. We're making fun of the malady. You know, the problem is when you actually point out a person, oh, George over there, he can't hear it, you know, that's when you get in trouble. But if you're just making a joke, like, will people hear what the person selling the hearing aid will have to say, I don't think that's all that bad. Same thing with blindness, and other things of that nature. But people are sensitive now. People are much more sensitive than they used to be. Well, do people like the idea of student loan forgiveness? Do they like the idea of getting a hearing aid over the counter? 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz, and we can certainly talk about it here on WGH. All right. Well, you know what? For some reason, we are getting a call. I wonder if we have a call coming in. Well, I think we're going to have this call here momentarily. Here on WGH Talk. All right. Well, hopefully that call comes back in. I'll tell you, I am all over the place this morning with the interviews. But we're having a good time here. Okay, and as we continue on here this morning on WGH Talk, we are joined by somebody I've wanted to have on for quite a while. We visited with her many times over this election, and with only 20 days left, what a pleasure it is to talk to the only woman ever to get the nomination of one of the two major parties here in Ohio for governor, Mayor Nan Whaley. Mayor Whaley, how are you?
Great, Scott. How you doing?
Doing good. 20 days left to go. How you feeling?
I feel great. We're seeing awesome energy all across the state. I've been traveling the state pretty much nonstop, you know, this past year. And, you know, I think people are tired of being forgotten and ignored by this state house and this governor. And we're particularly seeing women being upset about a freedom being lost.
What impact do you think the abortion overturn in the Supreme Court will have on people voting in 20 days in Ohio?
Look, I think it's going to have a very large impact, both because, you know, never in my lifetime has a group of people had a freedom taken away by the U.S. Supreme Court, but also because of the extreme nature Mike DeWine is on the position of abortion access. You know, we've made national news because of his 6-week abortion ban where a 10-year-old in Columbus was raped and had to go across state lines to terminate the pregnancy. When the governor was asked about her, he said he doubted she existed, and if she existed, she was probably lying. When Columbus police arrested her rapist, he confessed. Mike DeWine had two words, and they were no comment. Because really, Mike DeWine is so extreme and out of touch on this issue, he thinks it's just fine, and it's appropriate for a 10-year-old to carry her rapist pregnancy to term. That is completely out of step with where everyday Ohioans are, and it's why, you know, as soon as we're elected, we'll work to codify Roe versus Wade on the ballot in the Ohio Constitution. This is a common sense state. It's a pro-choice state, and, you know, I think women and the men who support them are appalled about how extreme Mike DeWine is on this issue, which is a fundamental right of health care access and freedom for women.
You know, Mayor Whaley, one of the interesting aspects of this gubernatorial race has been the absence of debates between you and Governor DeWine. Why has this happened, and what's your feeling on it?
Well, I think it's a disappointment for sure for the voters of Ohio. We have seen where Mike DeWine says one thing when it's politically convenient, but then is afraid to stand up and tell the truth in the next. And this was true in redistricting, another example of where he's really attacking the democracy. You know, debates are a key cornerstone of democracy, and he is not willing to stand up to Ohio voters and tell them why he thinks he deserves another 4 years. I know why, because he's so out of step on this issue. Like we talked about abortion access, like gun safety, where he lied to people of Dayton and didn't do anything to make our communities more safe. And frankly, also doesn't want to answer the fact that he is state official one in the largest bribery scandal in Ohio history. What's further troubling, Scott, is not so much just even debates, but now he is refusing to take interviews with reporters, even when I'm not there. And that means he's probably, you know, he's trying to hide something. And that's unacceptable when you are the governor of the 7th largest state in the country, you're up for re-election, and you don't want to talk to Ohio voters. I think that is very concerning, and I think more questions than answers have been raised about his behavior this past month.
You know, Mayor Whaley, we've had several candidates who are running for state office on, and the Democrats are talking about this scandal involving the Republicans and First Energy, but it doesn't seem to be front and center and doesn't seem to be hurting the Republicans' polling numbers for whatever reason. Why do you think that is?
Well, first of all, you know, the polls are all over the map on these races. And so the thing that I always remind folks is that, you know, we're seeing record number of voter registration among women in the state, and voter registration is those folks that are newly registered aren't in any of this polling. Secondly, I'll say this. I mean, we are hearing a lot about First Energy and Mike DeWine's complicitness in it, being state official one. People do know about it. I think it is another point about how he is out of touch and really more interested in taking care of the special interests and cronies in his party rather than, you know, taking care of everyday Ohioans and communities across the state. Mike DeWine's been in office since I was 10 months old, and frankly, those 46 years for Ohio have not been good for Ohio. And I tell folks, like, if they think their community is better off from 46 years ago, then they probably should take a look at Mike DeWine. But the vast majority of the state, from the numbers on what we lead on, that's being the top of bad ones and the bottom of good ones, are being the bottom five in the country on economic growth, shows that Mike DeWine's leadership has been a failure for most families in Ohio.
Mayor Whaley, since last we spoke, something kind of unexpected happened after the Republican primary. Former President Trump did endorse Mike DeWine after saying some negative things about him prior to the Republican primary back in May. Governor DeWine did not really make much of this, did not say a whole lot about it, but it did happen. What do you make of the Trump endorsement?
Well, I'm not surprised by it. I mean, you know, he kowtows to extremists and radicals every single time, frankly. So he likes to have it both ways, though. Right, take the endorsement from Donald Trump, but won't attend the rally. So those folks that follow Trump know he's been endorsed, but he doesn't want to offend folks that, you know, are troubled by Trump's attack on democracy, something that Mike DeWine is completely in line with them on. So it's a typical way of Mike DeWine saying what's politically convenient and then going with extremists and radicals at every single move.
What do you believe is the major issue in this campaign? And if you should win in 20 days, when you would take office in January, what would be the first thing you would do?
I think the major issue in this campaign is about freedom, Scott. The freedom for women to make their own health care decisions, the freedom for us to move around our communities safely and go to Friday night football games without fear. It's about the freedom to be able to have our democracy be strong. So all of, you know, and the freedom to vote. These are fundamental bases of our democracy. Mike DeWine has been too weak to stand up for them or actually believes that we should have limited freedom on women. I think those are the key issues. And then coupled with the fact that there is less and less economic opportunity in this state because of these extreme actions, that communities across the state get less and less support from the state house and this governor, all the while special interests get more and more.
On your first day in office, if elected, what would be the first issue, the biggest issue that you would want to deal with?
Well, I think the first thing we would do is get to work about putting Roe v. Wade in the Ohio Constitution so women don't have to go about these challenges around health care. We know it'll be a ballot initiative, and I'll be proud to lead that effort. Look, this issue is deeper than just a freedom issue. It's also an economic issue for our state. We see that women 20 to 40 years old aren't going to want to stay in a state where their doctors can't give them all their health care decisions. We've heard and seen story after story, women that want to grow their family, that have complications, cannot get the services they need and deserve in the state. It makes it unsafe for them, and it's going to affect our workforce. Further, it's going to affect our ability. It's already a challenge with getting doctors. We've met with countless med students who have said, no, I'm not going to practice in Ohio because I can't get the full training that I need in the state because of the extreme ideas coming out of the state legislature. There's a lot of talk about evidence-based practice in this issue, and state legislature isn't interested in following what the science says and what is evidence-based, which is a key place for our medicine, and instead they're following their religious beliefs, and that is incredibly dangerous, number one, for women, but also it's really going to be terrible for our economy that we're not going to have women that can have opportunity and decisions that should be made between their family and their God.
You know, Mayor, it's kind of interesting. You spoke about polls earlier and that polls are all over the place, and just because it came out yesterday, USA Today, which is certainly, it's a national paper, it's not an Ohio paper, and it's not necessarily, well, it's not known at all as being a conservative paper, came out with a poll in your particular race that Governor DeWine was ahead of you by 17 points, 56% to 38%. What did you make of that poll?
Well, look, I think that these polls aren't capturing voter registration numbers at all. They don't contact people that are new registered. And we are seeing a significant number, even in the early vote count, of the number of people that requested ballots are people that have never voted before, number one. Secondly, you know, polls have been proven to be, continue to be inaccurate, especially this year, where we saw, for example, in Kansas, a race for abortion access that was too close to call, according to polling, and won by 18 points. So polls were 18 points off. And we've seen this in the primary where, you know, we saw polling where we were even, according to polling in the primary, and we beat our opponent by 30 points. So we've just seen real threats. We've had polls that have had us down one or down four, public polls that have had us down four. So I just think the polling is too wide and too uncertain, and it's a dying science, frankly.
I have two questions to ask you, and one has to do with the female issue, because oddly enough, the things that have happened since you got in this race have brought female issues to the forefront. Certainly, a women's right to get an abortion is one of those issues, but also you being the first female candidate nominated by one of the two major parties does mean something. Hillary Clinton, in her book a few years ago, said one of the reasons she felt she did not beat Donald Trump in that election was because there was misogyny going on. Do you believe you being a woman has anything to do with these polls being this far off? Or does it not matter at all?
Well, look, I mean, I'm very proud to be the first female nominee for governor in the history of Ohio. Frankly, I think we're a little late to the game on that in this state. And our communities do better when we have diverse leadership, and our state would do better, too. So, I mean, I have not experienced extreme misogyny in this race. What I've experienced are women being very excited about having someone, if they say, that looks like them and acts like them, that could be the executive. And that's exciting for their daughters, too. And I think, look, we have to continue to push on. If we want to have a true representative democracy, the democracy needs to look like the people they represent. And so, for me, I think that's what I've experienced. Again, these polls are all over the map, Scott. We expected this to be a fight. We're running against a man who has been on the ballot 46 years. And so his name recognition is very high. But we notice that when we give folks an option and an opportunity, they come to us and they want to change. And we are definitely a change.
Well, and it's very interesting. And the final question I have for you is, because we're all very positive, I think anybody who runs from an office, of course, would not run for that office if they did not want to win that office. But everybody also has the possibility of not winning on election day. If you should not win, because you have now made history by being the nominee, the first female nominee of any major party in Ohio for governor, you have run a race for governor, you will not be the mayor of Dayton anymore. If Election Day doesn't go your way, what do you do? How do you stay involved? Where do you go on November the 9th?
Well, look, I am only able, and when you do something of this kind of endeavor, you only think about winning and your path to victory and November 8th. And I have to be honest with you, I haven't thought of anything past that date. And you're not the first person to ask me this question. This is a question I get a lot, but honestly, you know, there are 20 days to tell our story and why we believe Ohio deserves better. and I'm going to leave it all on the field until November 8th. And then when November 9th comes, I'll either be on my way to the governor's mansion or we'll see what's next.
We have 60 seconds left, and one question here to follow up on that would be, if these polls, like I say, they could be wrong. They absolutely could be wrong. We're 20 days
Thank
out.
You.
But yeah, but if they do end up being right, if on November 9th they're pretty close to what they say now, what will that say to you?
Look, I mean, I don't really know, Scott. Like, I've been so focused on making sure people hear our message and our vision for the state. I think for us, we want to do our very best to talk to every voter about this vote and recognize that it doesn't have to be this way, that they can have better in the state and that the state deserves better. That is our focus. And when November 9th comes, you know, we hope we get to change Ohio, and if not, we'll deal with that then.
Mayor Nan Whaley, the Democratic nominee for governor of Ohio. Mayor Whaley, thank you for coming on, as I've always thanked you for coming on, and hope to speak to you sometime in the future.
Hey, Scott, I appreciate it. Hey, one question. Have you had Governor DeWine on yet?
Well, we have sent the requests in. Let's put it that way. He has
not been.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you're not alone. You're not alone in the fact that no reporter can seem to get an interview with him. So good luck.
Well, hope springs eternal, I guess, as we say.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mayor Whaley. All right. Well, that's how that cookie crumbles. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.